decided I would just be a little softer as we start the show today. Just kind of help you get those little sleepies out of your eyes and wake on up and tackle the day. Nah, can't do that. Hey, good morning. Welcome. It's Thursday, May 13th on the program. You know what they say about Thursday the 13th? Nothing. Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B. He has found gas.
I have.
We are not talking indigestion.
Thanks for the clarification.
I'm a communicator. That's my trade.
Yes.
Try to be very, very clear.
Yes.
Not clear as mud, clear.
And the gas stations were pretty wide open, too, when it's 5 a.m.
Well, yeah. So see, you're seeing the benefits of this early morning gig.
So, hey, I'm sharing all the tricks of the trade, though, so I need to stop.
Not at all. No, if you want fuel, get up and get going early.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. You just beat everybody to the gas stations, and you have time to move around if you strike out. But you used Gas Buddy.
I did. I downloaded the app, and the only one that I found was the one that I ended up going to. It was actually open, and they had fuel, and I was the only one there.
So you can download the Gas Buddy, and Gas Buddy will be your friend, too. Help you find petrol for your car, or your truck, or your SUV. It'll be special.
Are you're in kind of rare form this morning?
Not really. I'm just I honestly, you're a big Ohio fan, and the governor of Ohio, the Buckeye State, has just lost his mind.
The state of my heritage is really going downhill.
Man, dude's a Republican. What's up? What's up with that, Ohio?
Know.
Come on. Oh, no. Oh, we'll get to that. Verse of the day, Proverbs 6:6-8, 6-8. Here we go. Go to the ant, you sluggard. I love verses like that. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. There are a lot of ways you can take that. I mean, if you want to go all spiritual and your faith, you can look at that verse and come to the conclusion that it's really important that you stay active working your faith. Fair enough. I would prefer to contemporize it. Scripture is amazing because you can reread the Bible over and over and you'll be at a new season in your life each time you do it. And the verses that you read before, they'll retain the same applicable meaning that they had originally, but it changes and expands without ever being contradictory to itself. It's amazing. It's a living, breathing document, the Bible is. And it's an amazing thing how it can say so many things at once, depending on where you are in life. For many, you know what that verse says? Get off your rear end and get a job. Go to the ant, you sluggard. That's what it says. And to that end, hey, 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 we have help today. On the show. Who knew that the verse of the day was going to match with our booking of guests? You would think that I book guests looking ahead to what the devotional would be, except I can't do that because I don't know what it's going to be in advance. Kim Moore, ladies and gentlemen. Kim Moore will be joining us. And we'll try to help you find a gig. A career path, options. And if you have someone that's not working and needs a little boost, we'll help. It's coming up in the third hour of the show. Between now and then, buckle up, children, because the ride is going to get wild on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Shazam.
News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Eleven minutes after the hour here on The Morning Show, day number 4468 of the program, day 114 of America Held Hostage. This date in history and the deep dive we're about to do, if you pay attention and commit it to memory or notes even, it could win you, at the very least, a bet someday with a buddy. Could get you a happy meal. At best, could earn you a big payday on a Final Jeopardy if you're ever playing. Check this out. On May 13th, 1864, Union soldiers buried the remains of 21-year-old Private William Henry Christman of the 67th Pennsylvania Infantry, who had died 2 days earlier in a Washington, D.C. hospital from complications related to measles. The Civil War was entering its third year, and cemeteries in the Capitol were full, so Private Christman was laid to rest in a new burial ground on the Virginia side of the Potomac, on the edge of the estate once belonging to Confederate General Robert E. Lee, thus becoming the first soldier interred in what is now Arlington National Cemetery. So there's the answer to your question. Who was the first person buried at Arlington National Cemetery? The answer, 21-year-old Private William Henry Christman of Pennsylvania's 67th Infantry on May 13, 1864. 1 month later, the War Department officially designated Lee's estate as a military cemetery. Oh, man. That was so cold.
I was going to say, can you imagine him getting news of that from wherever the Confederate Army was? You got to be kidding me. Took my house?
Wait, they did what? Yeah. Wow. The action was instigated by Quartermaster General Montgomery Meigs, who considered the Confederate general a traitor and wanted to make sure his family could never return to their home. Arlington National Cemetery covers 624 acres today, contains more than 300,000 graves. It averages 28 funerals a day.
To this day?
It averages 28 funerals a day.
Whoa.
Also has the remains of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, President John F. Kennedy's grave, of course, the Lee Mansion, maintained by the National Park Service as a memorial to Robert E. Lee. Oh, I shouldn't have said that out loud.
Yikes. You went there, huh?
Ooh. Take that back. The National Park Service maintains the grounds. Also on this date, 1607, colonists found Jamestown. We found it! First permanent English settlement in what is now the United States. Congress declares state of war exists between the United States and Mexico. That was in 1846. Boy, things have changed. Let's see here. 1865, the last battle of the Civil War is fought at Palmetto Ranch in South Texas. And on this date in 1954, President Eisenhower signs the St. Lawrence Seaway Development Act to construct a system of canals between Montreal and Lake Erie. So there you got it. This date in history. That's a good one. Interesting stuff. And you think nicely of me when you answer that trivia question and win something. That's why you listen to this program. You get more for your listening dollar than any show on radio. Or iHeart, for that matter. I can't prove that, but I'll claim it. 16 minutes after the hour.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeart radio station.
telling Grant, I'm at a new low weight-wise. And by new low, I mean I haven't been in the 240s since my 40s. And I'm almost there. And that's kind of exciting. Yeah, I'm a big guy. A little too big in the equator. I wish there was a little bit more in the northern hemisphere, but not a lot more because I'm not built that way. I've never been. I've got those long, athletic basketball muscles. Golfer muscles. I'm not big and bulky. That's never been a thing for me. And I'm not interested in that. But I'm a big guy. But anyway, been trying to lose weight. I was just telling him I'm using that Noom program. And they've taught some tremendous fundamentals on understanding. It's not a diet. You're not dieting. You're just learning how to eat what you enjoy, because there is nothing off limits. It's just being smart about it. Anyway, I don't want to go into all that because I'm not paid to. Anyway, I told them that, you know, I'm really deep into the program now, and it's an app, and you just, you know, okay, and you take, you know, 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 5 minutes there, maybe 7-8 minutes a day, and that's it. And they started to get a little weird on me.
A little too fruitcake-ish.
Yeah, a little too much. Okay. Deep meditation now, and do a personal self-scan of your body and connect to why you feel the way that you know. I'm like, yeah, whatever, get over yourselves. I'm not into this stuff. But it's been fun because I've shared, you know, just some things personally about the journey and what I've taken out of the stuff with the group that I'm in, which is, you know, maybe a few dozen folks. That joined about when I joined, and so you just kind of stick around with them. It's not like you get personally involved in any way, shape, or form, or know them. But I've just shared my thoughts, and I've always gotten pretty strong response from people on the things that I share, because I try to be really picky. I don't share very much. But I'll just tell you, if you're struggling, it's something you might want to look at, just to understand it. And they say it themselves. Not everything inside the program works for you, and that's okay. Not every, you know, it's all about adaptation, and that's what appealed to me about the whole idea, is that it's adaptable. You know, there's certain foods I enjoy. I'm not going to stop eating them. I just have to eat them smarter. I had my first soft drink last week at home since the middle of February. I had one of those little mini bottles of Dr. Pepper.
Feel like your tongue was caked in sugar and stuff? And
no, it was great. Oh, I enjoyed every bit of it. Poured it into a glass of ice and just nursed it and had a... It was just like, yeah, this tastes good. Now, I can have one as often as I choose, but choosing to have one too often probably isn't going to be really smart for me. So it's just been really fun because... I've learned, you know, when I get the urge, I want a little something sweet. I grab a mandarin now, a tangerine, or one of those Halo Cutie kind of little mini mandarins. I grab grapes. I love grapes. I've always loved grapes. I'm doing some substitutions. I grab carrots instead of a big bag of chips. I'll still have chips now and then, but I'll grab carrots and I'll put a little Couscous seasoning on them. And for those of you in the Tallahassee area, you know all about Couscous, and you get that Cajun seasoning that he sells, and it's like, whew, coat the carrots with that stuff, and you're in business there now. Flavor Town, coming. Anyway, Liz Cheney, what is she thinking? Listen to this comment she makes in her remarks yesterday before being voted out of leadership. We must hold true to our principles and to the Constitution. We cannot let the former president drag us backward and make us complicit in his efforts to unravel our democracy. What the crap is wrong with you, woman? Seriously, who's paying you to say this? This is absurd. Do I agree with every assertion Donald Trump makes? No, I don't. Do I agree with the idea that there were severe problems with the election and that perhaps some states were stolen? Yes, I do. Prove me wrong, Liz. That's the point. Prove me wrong. Where are the investigations at? So far, Arizona's about the only one who's doing one. She's lost her ever-loving mind. God bless her. She means well, but she is absolutely delusional. She is a case of hating Trump so much. You see, I think I have the balanced view of Donald Trump. I don't agree with everything. I'm okay with saying that. But I sure love the policies that he enacted and a lot of what he got done. Not everything, but a lot. And if you don't see irregularities with the election, Liz, you literally need to see psychiatric help. You really do. You need to find someone, lay on the couch, and spill your guts out. 27 minutes after the hour. We got some news, come back. Big story in the press box. Going to get a little interesting next.
$1,000?
Let's just do it, okay?
We've got a chance for you in less than 30 minutes on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
36 minutes after the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. Preston here, Grant there. New cartoon from Bronco on the blog page. You'll enjoy it. All right. The big story in the press box is as a result of an email that I received yesterday from a listener. I'm not going to name the listener, so if you're listening and you're the person who wrote it, don't freak out. I'm not naming you. But I think it's instructive. I take umbrage at your chastisement of your listeners today, allegedly hoarding gas. On Monday, you rightfully reported on the Shell stations running out of gas before the alleged hoarding began. And your anecdote about your son's efforts to get fuel, siphon hose, etc. That was me getting the siphon hose, by the way, and I was going to siphon my own gas out of my own tank to give him fuel, just to be clear to everybody. This announcement got me off the recliner, and I topped off our two cars and 2 5-gallon gas cans. I live in Apalachicola, don't want to get stuck here, hurricane season is coming, I appreciate your report of the gas situation. Tuesday, you were asking your listeners not to hoard. Please. I surmise someone talked to you. I think you were shocked at the influence you have on your listeners. You really are the most trusted man in broadcasting, at least in this area, and more, thanks to iHeartRadio. Today, you denigrated your listeners for heeding your warning, actually not a warning, but an observation and anecdotal evidence, and blaming us for the closed gas station. It's not your fault. I'm a reasonable, responsible individual, and the government, the colonial, were silent. There was an information void. Why? There was no trustworthy source of information concerning the pipeline except yours. This is the real reason people gassed up. You rightfully reported honestly to protect your listeners. Please don't stop doing that. Please don't assume any responsibility. You done good. Nor criticize me for doing the best I can with the information I have to protect my family. And again, I appreciate the note. I said as much as I replied. And I thanked him for writing. And obviously, everybody has a choice to take umbrage, take offense to anything I might say or suggest. But I think the choice was wrong. In his specific case, he cites hurricane season, and I would say to anybody thinking the same thing, that while literally hurricane season is 2+ weeks away, figuratively, it's 2.5-3 months away. It doesn't really start until August. I mean, yeah, there's the occasional exception. But there's a bigger issue here. This is not a permanent outage. This thing was bad enough that even Biden waived rules so fuel could get flowing a little quicker to certain states. He's loath to do that. He hates gas, allegedly. My problem with topping off tanks is this. While you have a half a tank and are topping off, or 3/4 of a tank and topping off, there's somebody out there that can't get to work. There's a traveling salesman out there that cannot do their job because they cannot find fuel. Because our fuel is based on cycles. They get deliveries based on the purchasing cycle at that given location. And when those cycles are disrupted because we start to top off tanks prematurely, the entire cycle, the rhythm of the purchasing of fuel goes completely awry. And the people that genuinely need it because they're at the end of their purchase, their driving cycle with fuel, they can't find it. And that's why I think it's a mistake to go do what we've done, panic buy. And if you disagree with my assessment, I've got the AAA headline, panic buying caused temporary outages. I don't know what else to tell you. I appreciate you writing, the writer of that, and to anyone who thinks the same, that I offended you. But I stand by my statement. I think I'm right. 40 minutes after the hour.
Glenn Beck program. It's time to act like Spock. Stop feeling and just use reason. 9 to noon on WFLA.
This is quite a list here. I want you to think about the first few months of Donald Trump's presidency.
Okay, I got to go back to 2017.
All
right. I was in college.
He's dealing with the effects of 8 years of Barack Obama. The border was an issue. But the biggest single issue he was facing was the mainstream media creating false stories. The constant, relentless attacks by the left. Now, keep in mind, Democrats really got control of things in the Trump midterm. Then the assault with endless hearings and accusations, and Adam Schiff still hasn't presented that ironclad evidence of collusion. He must be holding it for some really good reason. But nearly everything that the president encountered was created by Democrats artificially and promoted by the mainstream media for them. It was a constant noise. Now, contrast that with what Joe Biden's dealing with. The headline says, battered Biden under siege as crisis confound the White House. And then it goes underneath, remarkable 5 days of bad developments stretching from Israel to Mexican border up East Coast via Colonial Pipeline. But that doesn't tell the story. I've made a note here. The pandemic, wokeness, the border, jobs, debt, the pipeline, Israel and Hamas, and oh, by the way, on that end, Turkish President Recep Erdogan.
Erdogan? Something like that.
You go ahead and say it how you want. I'm going to pronounce it the way I see it. He tells Russian President Vladimir Putin on a phone call yesterday that Israel needs to be taught a lesson. Quoting, a strong and deterrent lesson. It's possible because of Biden's weakness. Now, Biden said, well, Israel has a right to defend itself, and AOC's gone nuts with him making that statement. Trust me. The Biden handlers went nuts when he said that because he's not allowed to say things. He's not allowed to react. So you've got Israel, Hamas, and now Russia, Turkey, other nations in the area jumping in. You've got Iran, you've got Afghanistan, you've got China. Everything's hitting this guy at once. And he can't form cognitive thought. Because he's cognitively deficient. His weakness is being exploited. Gradually more so each and every day. Here's the difference. These are all happening, and they're happening because he's president. It's not created by the mainstream media. It's not created by Republican forces. These are all problems he's created. The way the pandemic's unfolding. Speaking of, man, Got to get to that somehow. What Mike DeWine's doing in Ohio, it's unbelievable. And I don't think it's legal, but we'll see. Who's going to sue? 46 minutes after the hour. Stick around. It's Morning Show.
Spin stops here. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes away from the top of the hour, and then we move to our visit with Steve Stewart of Tallahassee Reports, find out what's going on in and around the capital of the state of Florida. In the state of Ohio, Republican Governor Mike DeWine shows that there are Republicans with varying levels of soundness of mind. Starting next week, per the governor, adults who have received at least one dose of the vaccine and are at least 18 years of old may enter a special lottery that will provide a $1 million prize each Wednesday for 5 weeks. Only those who have gotten the vaccine. State will also provide random drawings for a full four-year scholarship to an Ohio public university, including tuition, room and board, and books to Ohioans under the age of 18 who have been vaccinated. How is that legal? I mean, and I'm talking out loud here. I get lotteries are lotteries because there's a purchase and therefore there are disclosures required on odds and so forth. A purchase is necessary. When you hear a contest, it says no purchase is necessary. If they require a purchase, that's a lottery, and it's supposed to go through a very different regulating process. When there's no purchase necessary, it is not considered a lottery. It is just a game, a sweepstakes. It's totally governed by a different set of rules. How is it possible that he's able to do this just for people that, in, I won't say that, that choose to get a vaccine? I suppose it's not a lot different than saying no purchase is necessary, or purchase is necessary, your purchase is getting a shot. But here's the other question. Who sues? Does somebody sue that will not get a vaccine and say that's, you can't do that because you're using taxpayer money and I'm a taxpayer? Is that the argument? I'm asking. Is that the argument?
I think it is. Yeah. That's,
unless you've got $5 million you're giving away, plus the scholarships. So what, you're figuring maybe, what, $150,000 for a four-year ride at say, Ohio State, or maybe more, maybe $200,000.
Yeah.
So that's another mill if you're doing five of those. So you're minimum at $6 million.
That's how desperate they are. And why are they so desperate for us to get the vaccine is why I'm asking.
Well, it's flatline. People aren't getting it now.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, a lot of people decided, okay, we'll let you get the shot. You go ahead. I'm not getting one. You get one. That's what you want to do. You get one. And once everybody feels like, well, you got one, so we're safe, then we can all go back to living our life. I'm not subscribing to the conspiracy theories about the vaccine. I don't know one way or the other. I just know that my personal conviction is the same as it is for a flu shot. I've never gotten a flu shot. I can't remember the last time I got the flu. And I do things through nutrients to keep my immune system boosted. I'm not going there either. But I've got to believe that if you're a taxpayer, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, wait a minute, unless DeWine's got $6 million I don't know about, this is my money. You can't restrict it. Hour two of the morning show with Preston Scott is next. Minutes past the hour. It is the second hour of the morning show with Preston Scott. Even if you're just waking up with us, it might be your first hour, but it's our second hour. And remember, the podcast. Remember, you can stream this show wherever, whenever, however you want, as long as it's through the iHeartRadio app. You can do it on your laptop, your desktop, or your smartphone. Just look up the morning show with Preston Scott. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, as we do on Thursdays. The executive editor of Tallahassee Reports, the one and the only Steve Stewart. Hello.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Nice, cool weather out there.
Yeah. It's like, you know, thank goodness. Global, can you imagine how bad it would be without global warming? We'd be in an ice age.
I keep thinking this is the last, you know, cool spurt we're going to have, and yeah. We keep having another one anyway.
I agreed. When I walked out this morning, I was like, ooh, this is nice. Let's talk about the search for a new president at Florida State University. All of a sudden, it's kind of come to a head. They've got 9 finalists.
Yeah, there's a big list, you know, and obviously one of the reasons we're talking about it is because there's a lot of local impact here. And then in addition to the candidates that happen to have some local connections, Sean Pittman, who I would describe as an attorney lobbyist and, you know, political operator, is made the final list. Along with Richard Corcoran, who is the education commissioner, and then David Coburn, who is, I guess now is, what, the athletic director?
He is.
Yeah, at FSU. And so, you know, immediately my phone, I started getting a lot of calls about, you know, Sean Pittman being on the list. And, you know, we talked about this before going on air. I mean, I think this is one of these, when you look at the world of politics, you know, we see it as conservative, Democrat, Republican, liberal. I mean, there's a group that they take care of their own, regardless of the party. And I think this is sort of where this falls. I mean, sort of what I've heard on background is that, you know, just as an example, you know, Al Wasson, who is a U.S. representative, has a lot of clout, as would Mr. Dunn, Congressman Dunn. And, you know, if he asks for a favor, usually that gets taken care of because he can do a lot of help or damage in the U.S. House. So that's where we are on this. I mean, if you start looking at the history, I don't think it does any good, because you can just look at how Governor DeSantis just appointed a public service commissioner, which regulates billions of dollars in utilities. I mean, it's the daughter of the next president of the Senate, who had very thin resume for that job. And so that takes me back to my point. There's this group, and they protect and they do what's in their best interest.
So the idea is that some names or a name is on that list because of Al Lawson.
Well, that would be just an example of how it would happen, okay? And I think that, but we'll see. I mean, there's obviously a number of names on there that are very qualified from a perspective of what you would consider a college president. But as you read a lot of articles around the country about this, that's changing. There is becoming more and more a political position. And with President Thrasher, if you remember the outrage when he got appointed, and that sort of pivoted, because overall, I think, you know,
he was never as conservative as all the professors and students thought he was, and he was going to pivot and become a populist president the second he got the job, and he certainly loves FSU.
Right, and it's a lot more about PR and raising money. And
yeah,
so when
it is.
When you start looking at that, you know, Sean Pittman is, you know, he's the head of the Orange Bowl committee. You know, they put a parade on once a year. You know, I guess that's the concern. But if you do look at the background of Mr. Pittman, I mean, there is some concerns there. I mean, he is tangentially connected to this FBI investigation here locally. And so
he certainly would have been interviewed if you know, my understanding is correct on his involvement at different levels. Very close associate of Andrew Gillum.
Exactly. And so anyway, we'll see where it goes. But I think that it's just interesting to see how this happens. I mean, this is this is rarefied air. These are decisions that are made at a very high level between people that are, you know, political neophytes. I mean, they're donating money. And so is this just a favor and, you know, he doesn't have a chance at getting it? And you could, you know, again, so we'll have to see what happens.
Steve Stewart with me this morning. He is the executive editor of Tallahassee Reports. That's where you go to get the real news. Subscribe. Go there. TallahasseeReports.com. More in a moment.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Executive editor with Tallahassee Reports, Steve Stewart with me. Subscribe, get the paper. It's TallahasseeReports.com. And Steve, let's stay with education. Only go down one level to local Leon County.
I'm really excited about what we're doing with the Leon County Schools. As we've said often, and I say often, is Leon County Schools, the way they do their meetings and their agendas don't compare to the city and the county in terms of the detail you get. This is not a critique of current administration. It's been this way for a long time. So it's tough to get information, and you really have to be attentive to what's going on. And so we've got a reporter that has been watching these meetings over the last, I don't know, probably two or three meetings, and we've really created a model of what we're doing in terms of getting some reports out. This morning, if you go on our site, you'll get more reporting from the Leon County School Board meeting on our site than anywhere else. We've got a meeting briefs story, which goes through 11 items. It's a 2.5-minute read. We've got a story about the Rickards Science Olympiad team that won the state. And so, but some of the information there, you know, enrollment is down about 1,200 people this fall. So they've got millions of dollars that they're going to spend on trying to find out where those kids are, where they're going.
They don't have to spend that. They can spend half that and just ask me.
Just
pay me $600,000 and I'll tell them exactly where they are.
There was a debate about, you know, there's about $30 million coming from the state or from the feds that the state is appropriating, and our share is about $30 million. But there's some strings on it. Superintendent Hanna was not happy about all the strings that it's being put on the money. Trashed Governor DeSantis a little bit. D.D. Rasmussen got into a back and forth with him about, you know, this doesn't need to be political. We don't need to talk about political leaders that way. I think it's interesting to see the debate. D.D. Rasmussen evidently has a little bit of a changed approach. She's also got into it with the superintendent Hanna on the charter school. So this is something you see if you watch the meetings and you can report on. And so we're seeing this, you know, something we hadn't seen there is a little bit of debate going on at these school board meetings.
Is there any chance that with the newfound nerve of board member Rasmussen that we might see more transparency? In other words, a push from someone inside the board to say, let's get more information out, a la the city and the county.
Right. And I think, again, this is a process that's been involved, that's been in place for a while, and I'm starting to ask some questions. I know we got a little bit of movement on the agenda, the pre-agenda meeting, and so we'll keep asking about that. But, you know, for us, we figured out a way to get the information and try to get it out. And so, you know, it's 33,000 kids, it's 4,500 employees, it's a $600 million budget. It really impacts Leon County.
You don't miss much. I'm curious if one sentence from the release from the school board on their summer 850 project stood out to you as it did to me. And it was the final sentence of the opening paragraph that said, let's not let students fall further behind.
Yeah, in other words, they are. I think it's a, I didn't see that, but it's, they're already behind is the indication.
But what a statement of admission, even if it's accidental, that we know kids have suffered through this COVID pandemic with the way that we've handled it.
Right, and there's a lot of money in a summer program to try to, you know, recapture some of that learning. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think that's been sort of nationally known.
What else going on with the schools?
The story, well, we've got a story that's gotten a lot of traffic, and I think that's going to result in more investigation. Is the there was an investigation of the child's football coach. Well, it was, you know, I mean, it was a formal investigation with a document from a, you know, that was published or written by the assistant superintendent, Alan Cox. Nobody really knew about it. I didn't know about it. It was out in January, but some parents last year had, and a number of parents, this isn't one kid, it's not, you know, one parent, it's a group of parents, have some major concerns about the football coach. There was a 3 or 4 day investigation. You can read about it in the story, but it's still going on. It seems like the parents are not, they're not satisfied with the investigation.
And well, so, a bunch of questionnaires were not anonymous.
No, I mean, the way they did this is they randomly selected football players to answer a questionnaire. It's supposed to be anonymous, but the first question on the questionnaire was, you know, your name and your phone number.
There went anonymity.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's a tough thing to investigate these anonymous complaints, but when you're dealing with bullying and intimidation and demeaning, you know, players, people don't really want to come out and tell, you know, and mention their name. They want an investigation. So it turns into a he said, he said thing, unless you've got some other evidence. So we're continuing to dig into this and try to find out, get to the bottom of it. Because, look, and you know this, sports are a big part of kids' lives at school.
Yep.
Self-esteem, it's a big deal there. They like the camaraderie. And there's nothing I hate worse than bullying. I've seen a lot of it. And so we'll continue to look into it.
More with Steve Stewart next, 16 minutes past.
On your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
Get me talking high school sports and coaching and how to coach. And, I wish I could sit down and have a seminar with every coach in this community and anywhere else and teach them about that. But that's a story for another day. Steve Stewart with me. From Tallahassee Report, city and county business.
County Commission Tuesday, obviously the big topic, which went pretty quick, was their Phase 3 reopening because of the changes that Governor DeSantis made. Some procedural things, they've got to schedule a public hearing for June 8th to repeal the mask mandate. And then we have a story up that shows exactly what happens to Phase 3 reopening, which talks about some of the things they had in place, which was more than I thought in terms of outdoor activities. So that stuff will go away. Commissioner Christian Dozier, you know, brought the concern up that the positivity rate is back up to 5 or 6%. But, you know, that's got to be looked in the context of how many people are getting tested and the case numbers. Cases have dropped and positivity has got to be seen in that light. I mean, if you're testing a lot of people and the positivity is high, that's one thing. But if you're not testing a lot of people and it's high, it doesn't have as much impact. So that was one of the concerns that came up. They're going to limit the number of updates about the COVID numbers, which we're actually starting to do with Tallahassee Reports in terms of we used to publish it every day. We're going to 2 or 3 days. I mean, the numbers are just cratering statewide. Hospitalizations here have been right around 20. So they talked about that. And so we'll be moving forward on that, and we'll see what happens. I think one of the things that caught everybody off guard is that Vince Long, the administrator, said, listen, based on this, the action by Governor DeSantis, our meetings now, we have to open them up to everybody. You don't have to have a mask on.
Yep.
So, you know, it's starting to, I think, really hit home that we're getting back into a...
I noticed Bill Proctor wasn't wearing a mask.
Yeah, you know, that's weird because I saw a comment about that. He's been a stickler about wearing a mask. I'm not sure. That was just a picture that...
Maybe he feels better.
He might feel better, yeah. So, anyway, that was, you know, sort of the bigger item there. Now, there's a couple things going on. They finally got this homeless committee put together. They're going to workshop at Preston. You know, that's
meaning the city and the county.
The city and the county. They were waiting for the Big Bend Continuum of Care, which is the nonprofit head that sort of monitors what's going on with the homeless issue, to get some data together. So this will be interesting. I mean, it's coming a little late. We did see that we had a problem. I don't know what'll happen. We'll see. They're going to get together and have a meeting. They did have this North Monroe task force that the county put together. I watched the city commission meeting last night. And a little bit back and forth here on this. They are not going to have the city commission is not going to appoint anybody to this task force. So I sense a little bit of a turf war here.
Why?
Well, first of all, it's sort of weird because the county gave them a drop dead date, which was actually today. And so they weren't going to, the city wanted to get out applications and, you know, and find out who's interested in sitting on this task force. So I think what they decided was they're just going to monitor what the county's doing with this task force. It was weird because there was a little bit of laughing going on. I think they view this as more of a PR thing than actually getting anything done.
They meaning the city commissioners?
Yeah, the city sort of making fun of the county. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see if this is just another step forward in, you know, trying to put a lipstick on a pig in the sense, can you really do anything? The other thing I wanted to talk about, two things, Blueprint. We've talked about Blueprint a lot. A lot of money involved here with infrastructure, and it's been in the news with a couple of commissioners questioning the priority of projects. You know, we got word probably a couple of weeks ago that the convention center was not polling very well because of you know, the dynamics here. They were going to, the blueprint was going to give $20 million to FSU for this convention center. Now it looks like that FSU is going to be trying to get that money for renovations at the football stadium. And when you hear that, you start going, oh, well, you know, that we can't, that's not a good, you know, investment for our dollars. And, but, you know, one of the reasons why I think they're asking for it is because there was a previous disbursement of $10 million to FAMU for a stadium out of Blueprint. And then TCC on the heels of that asked for, I think, $1 million for some renovations for some athletic fields, which they got. And so now I think FSU is saying, look, precedent's been set. We'll match our economic impact, you know, on FAMU football and TCC sports any day.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see. This is where you flush out people, Preston, because the progressives, the Jack Porters, the Jeremy Matlows voted for the TCC and the FAMU dollars. And so what are they going to say at this point? You know? So that is something to keep an eye on. One other thing, real quick, I hear the music, is there's a little bit of debate going on about the Market District Park that has been in the works since whenever, 2009? they're wanting to put some kind of skate park or bike park there, and there are a lot of neighbors that don't want that. There was a poll and about what amenities they would like to see there, and they just sort of want a passive park. They want a place to walk, sit, and eat their sandwich. But it seems like there's some other groups that want to, you know, use this as an opportunity to put some things out there to make a name for themselves.
More to come.
Yes.
Thanks as always.
Thanks for the time, Preston.
Steve Stewart, Tallahassee Report. Subscribe. Go to TallahasseeReports.com.
Want to win $1,000?
Let's just do it, okay?
We've got a chance for you in less than 30 minutes on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, we've loosened up, stretched out. We've had our halftime pep talk. We're ready to go. Put me in, coach. Put me in. Second half of the morning show with Preston Scott. Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B. It's Thursday, May 13th. Day 4468 of the program. We have Steve Stewart back on next week at a different time to break some news your way. That's a very loaded statement. I just break some news your way. It's coming up. And it will be noteworthy to everybody in the Sunshine State, not Tallahassee, Leon County centric. Everybody in the Sunshine State. Big story in the press box. I was taken to task by a listener and only one. And I, rather than read the entire note, the person quoting, "I take umbrage with your chastisement of your listeners today, allegedly hoarding gas." And I stay with that. There is no reason to be hoarding gas, to be filling up when you are at half a tank, three quarters of a tank. There just isn't. And I don't take my word for it. This is AAA. AAA, just so you know, I get a news release every single week from AAA. It's about fuel prices. It's about travel. It's about what the driving habits are. People, they track this stuff. That's their business. I'm getting them every day. The one I received yesterday: panic buying causes temporary outages at filling stations. Panic buying. And to just explain my position on why, and for those of you that felt chastised, so be it. If you're among those that are doing that, you're wrong in doing it, and you're hurting people. You shouldn't make me feel bad. Why shouldn't I make you feel bad? That's what you're doing. And I would say the same to anybody at any point that doesn't understand the cycle. The fuel tankers' trucks come on cycles. And they show up at the filling station based on the cycle of people buying gas. Because people routinely buy gas at certain intervals. When their tank hits quarter tank or lower, they fill up. Now, there are those that fill up more frequently. It's just their thing. But generally, most people get to a quarter tank or less, then they're looking for to fill it up. And those cycles inform the decisions made on how often they receive a fuel truck to refill the pumps, the tanks. When those cycles are disrupted, here's what happens, and here's the impact of your choice. The impact of your choice is that the person that is now out of gas and drives to work for a living or drives for a living, they're a salesman, they're a traveling salesman, they have to commute. They can't get gas to do their job while you are topping off your tank. I'm sorry. It's selfish. Now, there are always exceptions. The exception isn't that you're worried about hurricane season, because though it starts technically June 1st, it really doesn't start until August. Maybe September. But you get my point. I'm sorry that someone was mad at me, and maybe you were too, and you chose just not to write me about it, but I stand by my statement. The evidence is all over. We have people panic buying. If you need gas, go get it. If you don't, please stop. 40 minutes after the hour on the morning show.
Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour on the morning show with Preston Scott.
It's a new dawn. Ah! It's a new day.
Hey!
It's a new life. It's a new life for me.
Come on.
And I'm feeling good.
Hopefully you are, and if you're not, that's why we're here. Optimum Health Naturally with Dr. David Hartz. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Preston. Doing well.
I am fascinated by the question. Is a steak or a bowl of ice cream worse for your heart?
Well, you know, I think people have been really going after some of the wrong things. You know, we've criminalized cholesterol, and we're finding out that it's not quite the villain that we thought it was. The medical literature is just exploding with the dangers of what we call insulin resistance, which is when we eat too many carbohydrates, when we get all the simple sugars and the starchy vegetables and so forth like this, which we have a lot of in our American diet, it stimulates our pancreas to secrete insulin, and then insulin levels increase in our blood, and eventually our cells get resistant to this insulin, and it doesn't allow the insulin stimulates glucose being able to get into the cell and be utilized. And after a while, it can't do that. It becomes resistant to this insulin, and the insulin keeps increasing in our bloodstreams, and it's causing all kinds of problems, increasing the chance for cancer. It's definitely increasing cardiovascular disease, and it also affects our brain and memory, by the way. And so this is a major, major problem, and the literature is just screaming, saying that this is where we need to be focusing. And we're not doing it. We're still taking Lipitor, and which, I mean, I'm sure there's some benefits to that, but I don't think that's the big elephant in the room here. I got a feeling it's these carbohydrates and this insulin resistance that's contributing tremendously to this. And, you know, there's a couple of things that we can look at as far as signs of this. You know, if you have a waistline that's over 40 inches for a man or 35 for a woman, blood pressure over 140 over 80, and also fasting blood glucose levels that are over, I'd say, 95, they won't even show up on conventional blood tests as abnormal until they get over 100. So people could be insulin resistant and not even know it because, it's, you know, nobody's saying anything about this at those levels.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fasting triglyceride levels, 150, and also skin tags, people that have a lot of skin tags, those are signs of insulin resistance, as well as, I believe, some of these dark, patchy marks we get on our skin that aren't raised. I believe they're possibly related to this also. And so anyway, some of the things we can do, obviously we need to take more vitamin D. That's real helpful. Obviously cut down on these starchy sugars, grains, and starchy vegetables and start increasing protein. We want vegetables. We don't want to just go totally protein. Some people with these really, you know, low-carb diets go too far that way, but we definitely got to get some of this sugar and this high carbohydrate out of our diets, and also increase in good old, you know, aerobic exercise. That's really, really important. If we can get out and walk and move and get some exercise, that's really, really important. And you can take things like berberine and magnesium and things like that too, also help with this. But we got to be start focusing on what's important as far as this cardiovascular disease, because it's not, the rate of it's not decreasing just by trying to control cholesterol alone.
So which is worse for the heart, a steak or ice cream?
Well, I think the ice cream myself personally. From all the research that it shows, I think if you got to go one way or the other, I think you stay towards the protein, stay away from the sugar.
Get yourself a good ribeye.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Hartz. Good to talk with you. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Have a great day, Preston.
Thank you, sir. Dr. David Hartz with us this morning on The Morning Show with Preston Scott. 46 minutes after the hour.
Weekend weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Kim Moore, TCC Workforce Development Vice President of Innovation at TCC, will join us in just a little bit. Yeah, that shooting in Colorado over the weekend, birthday party, left six people and then I think the gunman dead. Or maybe it was five and the gunman, I don't know. But there was something buried inside the story that I thought was interesting. And it underscores a point that I have made since I started doing this show. It's not that I'm necessarily clairvoyant on what's going to happen down the road on this front, but it makes sense. And we've had incidents of mass murders, serial killings, etc., throughout time. My prediction was more of them because of the inability of younger people now growing older and those that will follow to understand and heed the word no. To face disappointment and not know how to cope. That's why it is so vitally important that you teach your children how to accept the consequences of their actions. If that's a bad grade, let them own it. Teach them early in life. The gunman in this situation, you know why he shot and killed everybody? Because he wasn't invited to a birthday party. And it showed up earlier because this guy had a history of controlling and jealous behavior. Controlling and jealousness. Being jealous, that's as old as Cain and Abel, right? Nothing new. It's a human emotion. It is part of being who we are. We have to learn to overcome those things. To find security. To find balance, to not overlord over people. It's interesting to me how that history showed up and then manifest with a simple not invited to the party. So this party happened, he wasn't invited, so he showed up and killed everybody. Literally. That's somebody that never, ever learned the art of coping. And my prediction in 2002 was that this would become more prevalent because at that time, in the 1990s, we started this pattern of awarding participation trophies. And look, I'm fine with giving the certificate and a trophy for taking part in the league. I'm good with that. I really am. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, thanks for being on the team. Here's a trophy for being part of the team. What I'm not okay with is, in the world of sports, you play to win the game, Herm Edwards. As he said, that's why you play. And so you do keep score. You keep score, and you keep track. And when you fall short, you look at your players and you say, okay, what'd we learn? They're just better than us. Very good. They're better than we are. So what else did we learn? Well, we got to work harder on the defensive end. Yep. You learn. You learn. You got an F on your grade card. What'd you learn? I guess I have to do my assignments. Bingo. Got to make up that class. Can't you make a call? Nope. Got to make up that class. Time for news. Back with more of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. After the hour, the morning show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Being the intuitive broadcast professional that I am, a few months ago, I just looked at Kim. I said, yeah, we need a little bit more time.
Yes.
Because jobs and the job market, employment is becoming more complicated. And so Kim joins us. She's the vice president of innovation for workforce, and she's at TCC. Hi.
Hello.
What's the top 10 this month?
Top 10 this week. So we got software developer, sales representative, thinking about the wholesale side of it, registered nurses, managers, retail sales, customer service representatives, first line supervisors of retail, maintenance and repair, medical and health services managers, and finally, general and operations managers. Now, all of those positions, only one requires a bachelor's. Everything else is less than, and we're talking, when we look at dollars and cents, $29,000 to $103,000.
If you want that list again, you don't have to write it all down. Mm-hmm. Just go to hotoccupationsnow.com. That's the website, hotoccupationsnow.com. Who's hiring?
So who's hiring? We got the state of Florida coming in at number one.
Okay.
Ernst & Young, that's the consulting and audit and legal company or firm. Florida State University. Facebook.
That's a swear word in my world.
I waited for your response. So that's that's not the end of the list, but
silence.
That's just like number four, right? And you never get you silent. So there you go. Number four. Number five, ICF International and their global consulting and technology. You got Florida Department of Corrections, Merck and Company, healthcare. They are also a partner of Johnson & Johnson with the vaccination. Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare. Hospital Corporation of America, HCA, and then Travelers. Yeah, rounding out the top 10, a variety of different jobs.
Is it the same here in the region as it is nationally? All kinds of jobs, can't find workers.
All kinds of jobs, entry, mid, and C-suite, but different reasons. C-suite, more often than not, the talent that you're looking for, they're in a job. More often than not, those are your rock stars that you're going after, and the idea is luring them, right? So they're already going to be there. Entry level, you're seeing it much more different because when you look at, you know, driving down the road, whether it's our fast food partners, and there's just difficulty all around. I think it's just the bubbling kind of effect. And even with your mid, because there's just been this relaxed effort, job seeker market, everyone knows that, you know, this is their heyday and they're kind of capitalizing on it. So employers are going to have to be creative.
Is there any doubt that the federal assistance combined with the state assistance is exacerbating the situation?
I would say that it does absolutely do that, along with life circumstances. Mm-hmm. Folks are having to take care of family members, perhaps as a result of COVID, childcare. And I think it's just a perfect storm. throw in also work requirements for individuals who receive types of public assistance and or benefits. That there's been a moratorium on that. That's going to be coming off at the end of this month, but that's been for over a year. So think about the types of workers or individuals that would normally be in these jobs. There's been a moratorium there. Mm-hmm. And then for those that were working, because that's the only way you can get the unemployment, if in instances you were receiving more than you were working for in the past, you know, you got to look at the benefit of an individual thinking, why get back in the job market?
Are you facing the same issue with scholarship money available that jobs employers are facing right now? We have money. We have help. Apply.
You know what? So the campaigning for it, it's like it's the weirdest thing. And, you know, we talk about it each month. This is the best time of your life if you want to get retrained because there's dollars to do it. I'm happy to report this morning that we have expended those Be Essential funds.
Okay.
In our area, 100%. Yay. There is going to be additional dollars. You'll hear another campaign. I'll make sure that I share it here with our listeners. But yeah, there was that difficulty. I did everything from standing on my head, going sure. on radio, TV, and everything else to say, hey, here's this opportunity.
So we've used that.
Good. But there's more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kim Moore with us. We got another segment to go, and we'll dig a little deeper on the job front and the employer front. It is, I guess right now, if you want a job, you have your pick. So it's a job seeker's market right now, and we'll get to what that means next here on the show.
And Beck, you want him on that radio. America can handle the truth. You need him on that radio. 9 to noon on WFLA.
Eleven minutes after the hour, we continue the third hour of the program. Kim Moore, she's with Tallahassee Community College, Vice President of Workforce Innovation. And, you know, I say TCC, but this is a regional site. It also offers guidance for those of you looking for work in the state of Florida, because there's information on that site, hotoccupationsnow.com. Kim, I was just mentioning the fact this is definitely a job seeker's market right now.
It is. It is on all accounts.
Because of all the signs, right?
Oh, yeah. 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 All the signs, just the sheer number, thinking about reopening and making sure that we're normal. Well, part of being normal is having the workers there to do the jobs. And you and I have talked about it. You go to restaurants and you see the signs, and that's just starting at our restaurants. I mean, this continues. It's not even, you know, I even think about some of our larger box stores, even office jobs. It's across the board. So having that conversation, I say to job seekers and those who may not, you know, maybe have relaxed from being the job seeker, you need to jump back in there. You need to make sure that you have the skills that you need, maybe get the training that you need as well. Think about your resume, because these huge gaps that's being created will not fare well over time. You got to think about, this is a long-term strategy. This was a short-term moment in terms of the unemployment, but we need to think about the long-term game, and that is preparing for your future. And the future's not unemployment.
So when you talk about gap, you're mm-hmm. talking about your resume sitting there, and you've been sitting on the sideline for whatever the reason,
right?
Versus the person that's been working.
Yeah.
And they've shown a work ethic.
Exactly.
That's the gap you're talking
about? That's the gap that you're going to see, and that you're going to have to explain to an employer. It won't always be this way. The other part of it, you know, when I think about employers, like never before, I shared with you an industry that contacted me last week, a gentleman on behalf of the local industry, and saying, Kim, I always hear you on Preston. We need your help. You know, we need your help. Said normally we would never have to look for workforce, but now nobody's coming to our door. What do we do?
You're having to have this kind of hard conversation with a lot of employers.
Absolutely.
So what did that sound like?
That conversation, I said, okay, let's look at what you've been doing. You haven't had to look for anybody, so you've been I won't call it picky, but you know what? You raised the bar, and there's nothing wrong with raising the bar. You want the right talent. So we started having a conversation. This happened to be in trucking, so the truck driving industry. And the conversation was, you know, this is what we've looked for in the past. And I said, okay, well, what about looking at it in a different way? I said, we have this great program. We partner with Department of Corrections. We are training individuals who have a second chance to become commercial vehicle drivers. They are already certified and ready to go. Have you thought about looking at it differently? recently, you know, what's the risk factor there? And he said, you know what, let me check with my risk manager. He contacted me the next day. He said, you know what, there's no reason why we can't. There's no reason why we can't. So those individuals who graduated.
That's a three-way win.
Yeah, those who graduated are coming, are going to apply today. So I want you, that's just one place, but it's also in looking at students. I know employers want experience, but what about your pipelines with your educational institutions? Be a part of creating the curriculum so you get the training and experience while they're there. So when they're coming out or even while they're going to school, you can hire them. Think about growing your workforce because there's an opposite effect, you know, if we don't do this. You know, you and I talked about it, the risk of automation.
Yeah, because this is all accelerating automation.
Yes.
And business owners are going to eventually have to make the choice.
Yeah.
Close down or throw more money at my business, but automate because then I don't have the dependency on people.
Right. And again, that's why everybody has to be a part of this solution, because when we look at it again, it's a job seeker market now. But if you look at it down the road, if automation wins the day, then, you know, then there's a people part of it.
The balance switches.
Exactly. Exactly.
What would your advice be to somebody right now looking for employees?
Looking for employees, think about it in a non-traditional way. They're not coming right now. There's a reason for it. Contact your educational institutions. There are people there that are looking for retraining that have other experience. Think about it in a different way. If you can't think about it in a different way, call us. Call us. Happy to help you. I mean, it's especially with the work that we're doing here on the show, but definitely you can call me directly at TCC as well.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Kim Moore with us. That's why we do these segments every month, try and get you thinking a little bit differently. And there are some brutal realities out there that are forcing you to think differently. 16 minutes past the hour.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com, on your phone with the iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos, and iHeart's radio station.
Twenty-two minutes after the hour of the morning show with Preston Scott, I'm going to offend, and I don't mean to, but it happens. Here's the headline. Vatican sounds alarm over U.S. bishop's potential plan to deny Biden communion in pro-life fight. The head of the Vatican's doctrinal office warning U.S. bishops to deliberate carefully and minimize divisions before proceeding with a possible plan to rebuke Roman Catholic politicians such as President Joe Biden for receiving communion even though they support abortion rights.
That's what they decide to speak about? Not what's happening in Germany? Progressive Catholic bishops have defied the Vatican's order on marriage and has decided to bless and marry homosexual couples, defying the Catholic Church's order. That's what they decide to do?
There's division among bishops, with some pressing for Biden and other Catholic public figures to be excluded from communion over their abortion stance, and other bishops warning that such a move would be politically polarizing. In his letter, the head of doctrine for the Vatican says that any new policy requires that dialogue occurs in two stages. First, among the bishops themselves, and then between bishops and Catholic pro-choice politicians. No, there don't need to be any such discussions. Let me help you out here, Catholics. This is what the Bible says on the topic. And I personally think that, you know, I mean, Jesus said he came to bring division. Jesus himself said division would come because of what I'm here to do. And in other words, it could get tough sometimes. It can divide families sometimes. It can divide churches sometimes. Churches that follow the Bible and those that don't. Notice the commentary from some Catholics in leadership. We need to be careful of any political... What? What? Did you not follow the whole Jesus thing? He didn't take the throne as king of Israel because he wasn't there to be political. He was there to be a savior. a king in a whole different realm. Here's what the Bible says. Because I think that priests that say to somebody, you're pro-choice, I'm sorry, I cannot serve you communion. I think they're doing them a great favor before God Almighty. And here's the biblical justification for doing that favor. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you who are weak and ill and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. When you dare to take communion believing that it's okay to kill babies, you are drinking judgment on yourself. That is a biblical straight. You don't need to go to Wheaton. You don't need to go to Lee College. You don't need to go to Emmanuel College or Oral Roberts. You don't need to go to any Christian university to understand what that just said. It said, you best not take communion until you get yourself in right place, in right posture before God, or you drink judgment upon yourself. This is a really important time for the Catholic Church to step up and say to politicians that believe in killing babies, exactly what they ought to say to every politician. Deal with your sins before taking communion. And that, by the way, is one of them. Uncomfortable, but that's... I'm the messenger. Take it up with the one who wrote the message. 27 minutes after the hour.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Got a note from a listener talking about the fuel shortage that it has kept him from his work. And that's the big story in the press box today, panic buying at the gas stations. And I shared in the first hour, I read the note from a listener, and it was very kind, other than taking umbrage with me and thinking that I denigrated listeners. I don't think I denigrated. I think I chastised. I think there's a difference. Because we buy fuel in cycles. And when those cycles are altered for reasons of our own volition, we injure others unintentionally. There's no doubt unintentionally. Unless you listened to this program and you did it anyway, then you did not take my pleadings seriously. You are keeping people from being able to earn their living by topping off your tanks when you have half a tank or three quarters of a tank. You just are. If everybody stays in their cycle of getting gas when they need it, the gas stations would have been able to manage this better. There might have been an outage here or there, but not what we're facing. These cycles determine everything in our world. How many sandwiches they have at Chick-fil-A to make every day. How many pizzas at the chain pizza places. How many burgers are served. How many guys can hit on the driving range. It's based on cycles. Yeah, it spikes here and there and it dips here and there. But those cycles determine, for example, at the driving range, when they move those things so that they move you to another piece of grass. So that they have time for that grass to grow back. When those cycles are altered, in this case by people putting gas in their car when they don't need to put gas in their car, the people that do, that are at the bottom of their cycle where they need fuel to do their job, to get to their job, to perform their job, is disrupted and it injures people for reasons that, according to AAA, it's described as panic buying. And I upset somebody, and I don't mean to upset anybody unless you're in a liberal, and then I don't really mean to upset you. I want you to think. I want you to consider what I'm saying, because I attack things through two different lenses, the lens of my faith and the lens of common sense. I am not the sharpest knife in any drawer. There are very few subjects of which I'm an expert, but I read a lot. And I process a lot of information. And the odds are I process more than you do, simply because I have the privilege of doing that. I am blessed with the opportunity to consume vast amounts of information. I don't always get it right, but I work really hard at presenting what I think is most important and is accurate. In the case of what we're dealing with fuel shortage, it is largely self-imposed. Not entirely, largely. I stand by my words. And I'm sorry. But who I'm really sorry for are the people that can't earn their money because some of you topped off your tanks. And that's why they can't earn their living. But you got a full tank of gas. And you're just making me feel bad. Sorry. 40 minutes after the hour, come back with a story brought to my attention by a listener from Reuters that just make it, the guy made a brilliant point in the email, and I'll get to that next.
His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
I can't say that it's in the Bible, but I can tell you that when there is a promotional word that says, as I was saying, is coming to Saturday mornings, it's a sign of the times. Yes! Promotion.
Yeah, if you've missed, as I was saying, it is a Saturday morning exclusive presentation here. Now, it could be picked up statewide. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. There was talk of using that to introduce this show to, shall we say, larger audiences in other cities across the panhandle and across the state of Florida. There was that discussion. But I'm not at liberty to say whether anything more will come of it because, frankly, I have no idea. But if you've never caught it, as I was saying, it's kind of a recap. There's a little new material in there. You know, Old School has a segment in the show that he gets to just throw it down, and it's hilarious because it shows that I'm 61 in June, but he's older than me. And so... It's a fun Saturday for 1 hour, right after Better Lawns and Gardens and right before Talon Outdoors.
Well, you want to know something about real quick?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Mexico City. No.
Go ahead. There's like a trend on social media among, like, you know, young conservatives, something to the effect of like trad life. Are you traditional? Do you live like a traditional conservative life?
Is that a thing, trad life?
I think so. It's very, like, if you heard, like, some political commentator on YouTube, if they say that's really trad, then that could be something that's
positive. But shouldn't
positive.
It be trod?
True. It depending, yeah.
Wait, true? Okay, is what? It trad, trod, or true?
Trad.
Is it trod and true?
Jeez,
you know, something
man.
Could be trod and true.
Good grief, man. You're killing me.
You're killing me, Smalls.
So anyway, trad life.
Okay.
Young conservatives.
All right. I'm down with that, man. You know me, I'm hip. And you can say you're killing me, Biggs. You could say that.
True.
Yeah. I'm definitely not Smalls.
Trad. No. Crap. I'm back here again.
Anyway, Mexico City, Reuters. Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador Smith on Wednesday welcomed. Sorry. Good. I think the guy's got 15 names. Come on. Welcomed a move by the United States against General Motors for alleged labor violations at a Mexican factory, saying the two governments had to work together to protect workers. Here's the next line. Using powers under a new trade agreement that replaces NAFTA, the Biden administration on Wednesday asked Mexico to examine alleged labor rights violations at a GM pickup truck factory in the city of Celaya, a move that could lead to tariffs on some of GM's most profitable vehicles. Jay wrote me and he writes, it would appear that Biden has come up with a new trade agreement with special powers. Why not say using powers under the USMCA created by the Trump administration to replace NAFTA? Brilliant observation.
Yeah, absolutely.
One little line. But you see, that's how they do it. See, and Jay is on it. I won't take credit for it, but I've been trying to teach all of you how to read the news differently. You'll see biases just slipped in there. In Reuters, Reuters hated Donald Trump. Hated. Right there with the Associated Press. Hated. Almost more than anything in the world. And that's just a great catch. They're not going to announce that. They're just going to use Trump's policy in that case. Not congratulate him for it. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more. In the program, and no doubt some of you did. That's okay. We do have the podcast page. Remember, you can listen to this show whenever you want. Go to the website, hit that left drop-down menu, and you'll see the podcasts. Is it those three little horizontal bars on the left, and you go to podcasts, and there it is. Preston Scott On Demand. Followed by Preston Scott's As I Was Saying, then Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and the rest. So if you miss something, you can listen whenever you want, and it's so simple and easy. Just get the iHeartRadio app. It's free. You can stream the program whenever you want. And if you're ever in a situation where you're driving out of the area, you want to keep listening to the program, boom, put it on the app. And with newer cars, you can stream it right into your stereo system. You just hit the auxiliary button a couple times to Bluetooth it into your radio. There you are. We're right there with you. Wherever you go, we can be your pocket buddy. That's what we can be. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine incentivizing those to get vaccinated that live in the state. It, to me, is illegal what he's doing, because what he's doing is he's taking tax dollars and he is incentivizing only those that get a vaccine to be eligible for a drawing once a week for 5 weeks for $1 million. It's a special lottery. I've questioned, there's no way that's legal. There's no way that's legal when you're taking, unless he's donated the money or it's been given by private businesses, $1 million a week, and then each week they're giving away four-year tuition to a state university. And I'm talking tuition, books, room and board, everything. 4 years. It's got to be worth a quarter mil. Something like that. Close to it. So you're talking about a combination about $6 million or so dollars that has to be taxpayer funded. So how can he limit it to just those that have gotten the vaccine? He's a Republican too.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Rhino. That's it. It's a rhino. That's a definition of a rhino. That's patently stupid is what that is. And if I'm a taxpayer not willing to get vaccinated, I am crying foul. Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. Gas shortages continue unnecessarily so. Don't believe me. Don't believe any of my rationale behind why I think it's foolish for you to top off your tanks. Just listen to what AAA says. Panic buying causes temporary outages. Liz Cheney told Republicans that they are enabling Trump and will harm their legacy. Liz is in complete denial about the 2020 election. Was it stolen? I still can't say yes. I can say maybe. I can say we need investigations. I can say there was fraud. I can say that. I can say that there were illegal actions and activities. Questionable. We need to know more. But Liz Cheney's in complete denial, and she has lost every ounce of credibility, so the Republicans voted her out. Not out of Congress. They can't do that. Voters will take care of that. But they removed her from any position of authority. Joe Biden managing one crisis after another, or is he? I have an image of Joe Biden in the corner, tucked up, his legs tucked to his chest, holding his ears, screaming and crying. Tomorrow, What's the Beef Friday, Mike Martin Jr., FSU baseball, and more. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.